The following program is brought to you by friends and partners of End Time Headlines.
All of our podcast viewers today, we welcome you to the broadcast. All of our YouTube viewers, all of our Facebook Live audience. Again, as always, if you are new to the broadcast, this is your first time joining us, please, under the comment section below, if you're able to, depending on where you're watching or where you're listening this from, let us know where you guys are joining us from and that you're new to the broadcast. So today, I've got an interesting subject. I'm not going to spend a lot of time on this today, but I do want to touch on this today. And I'm going to be talking about what put Job on hell's most wanted list. You're going to see that come up on your, if you're watching the visual of this, you'll see this come up on your screen here. What put Job on hell's most wanted list? Have you ever asked, when I read the book of Job many years ago, when I first read it, of course, you know, as a believer, we have to ask ourselves, why did Job suffer so many things that he did? And in fact, Job is probably one of those books that a lot of believers avoid, because when they start reading it and they start seeing the afflictions and the persecution and the tribulations and the trials and the conflict and the attack that Job went under and the things that he lost, his family, his possessions, all kinds of things, we kind of want to blot that out. We kind of want to sweep that under the rug. We want to avoid that because we don't ever want to even relate to that. We don't want to ever get to a point where we could relate to Job. So I remember many years ago when I read this passage and read about Job, I asked myself that question: what in the world, what did Job possess that put him on hell's most wanted list, that he came under such attack? So that's what we're going to talk about today. So right off the bat, when you go to the book of Job, which, by the way, the book of Job is the book right before you get to the book of Psalms. When you get into the books of Psalms, you go to the book of Job. And here's what it says. And I'm going to read this. I'm going to pull this off here for a second. Then we'll pull up some key points here that I want to talk about. Here's what it says I'm going to read from the New King James, and we'll go from there. There was a man in the land of Uz whose name was Job, and that man was blameless and upright, and one who feared God and shunned evil. And 7 sons and 3 daughters were born of him. Also, his possessions were 7,000 sheep, 3,000 camels, 500 yoke of oxen, 500 female donkeys, and a very large household, so that this man was the greatest of all the people of the East. Again, this is Job chapter 1, verses 1 through 3. So right off the bat here, there's some key things that we see about Job. God testified of Job that he was blameless, he was upright, he feared God, and he shunned evil. I'm going to say that again. Job possessed 4 major qualities here, but we're going to talk about more in just a second. He was blameless, he was upright, he feared God, and he shunned evil. And as a result of this, you go down here to verse 8. When we go down to verse 8, Satan, we see, and it actually starts around verse 6. The Bible talks about there was a day when Lucifer, who we know as Satan, comes before the presence of the Lord with angels who had revolted with Satan. And they came before the throne room of God. There's this whole dialogue that takes place between God and Lucifer. And basically, to make a long story short, Lucifer is wanting to take Job out. And even God says and acknowledges this, and he says, "Have you considered my servant Job? Have you considered my servant Job? Why did he ask him? Did he consider? And God starts bragging on Job. And he tells him he's blameless. He's upright. He fears God and he shuns evil. And because of this, even Satan acknowledged something about Job. And I'm going to read this. Listen to this. Verse 9 of Job 1. So Satan answered the Lord and said, does Job fear God for nothing? Listen to what he says. Have you not placed a hedge around him and around his household and all that he has on every side? Have you not blessed the works of his hands and his possessions and have increased him in the land? Did you hear that? So again, he was blameless, upright, feared God, and shunned evil. And because of this, it produced a hedge around him, around his possessions, around all that he had. Listen to this. And he was greatly blessed, and he was very prosperous, and he was called the greatest in all the land of the East. But I'm going to take a step further. There was other qualities that Job possessed that I believe we as believers need to possess today. Because listen, what a great honor it would be to be on hell's most wanted list. And you say, well, I don't know about that, brother. Listen, you don't think it would be an honor that God is bragging on you in heaven before Satan? This is what a true, devoted, God-fearing, faithful, upright, man of God looks like, or woman of God. You can fill that in here, because I believe these qualities can be possessed by women as well. But look, there was something else that Job did that I thought interesting. This is going to really bless those who have kids or children, or maybe grandchildren. It says here in verse five, that Job would sanctify his children. He would rise up early in the morning and offer burnt offerings according to the number of them all. Now, obviously, under the new covenant, we don't offer burnt offerings to the Lord. But in today's vernacular, today's understanding, this would absolutely be a representation of Job rising up early, or you and I rising up early in the morning, laying hands on, blessing and affirming our children, praying over them, affirming them, decreeing the word of God over them, decreeing the blessings of God over them, releasing God's blessing and his word over them daily. And when I read this, it reminded me of, there was a man by the name of Jonathan Edwards. This was hundreds of years ago, but he would rise up every morning. He would put his children in his lap. He would sit in a chair and bring his children to him, and he would bless them. He would speak blessings over them. He would pray over them. He would decree things over them. He would do all these things over them. And history points out that his descendants became great in the earth. Why? Because he made a devotion to pray, decree, and bless them every single day. What would happen if we did this every single day? And I know there's work and there's life and there's, but just think about, what if you took 5 minutes out of your day and you said, Lord, I lift up my sons to you. I lift up my daughters to you. I lift up my family to you. And I bless them today in the name of the Lord. I decree the word of the Lord over them today. I declare that they'll be the head and not the tail, and above and not beneath. I pray that they'll be healthy and strong and live the fullness of their days and live to see their children's children. I declare they'll walk upright and in victory, and they'll not be succumbed to temptation, and they'll not succumb to drugs or alcohol, and they'll walk uprightly and fear the Lord. What if you decreed that every day over your children? Maybe you're like me. You were raised in a broken home, a dysfunctional home, a home, full of alcohol and full of verbal abuse. And the affirmation that I received was not the blessing of the Lord, but it was word curses. You'll never amount to nothing. You won't do this. You won't do that. This will probably happen or that will probably happen. And then when I got saved, I had to break all that mess off of me. But listen, I'm trying to tell somebody today that God sees this. He honors this. It goes up before him as a memorial up before the Lord. Remember Cornelius in Acts chapter 10? And let me refresh your memory. He was a Gentile. He was the first Gentile convert in the New Testament. He was of the Italian regiment. And the Bible testifies of him that he feared God with all of his household. He gave alms often. He prayed often and he fasted often. And as a result of these things, God blessed him. God sent Peter from the housetop of Joppa and gave him the words to life, which was salvation in Jesus' name. I'm trying to tell somebody today, there's a reason why Job was on hell's most wanted list. And there's more than just in the first passage of Job chapter 1. We could easily rest our hat on he was blameless and he was upright and he feared God and he shunned evil. But I want to show you some more stuff here. In Job chapter 29, as we read on, when Job begins to have this entire discourse and he begins to reminisce of his life. Because what's happening is he's got friends, and in quotation marks, friends, if you want to call them friends. He's got his friends around him because all hell's breaking loose in Job's life. He's scraping boils off over a bucket. His own wife is cursing him. He's lost his children, lost his possessions. He's lost everything he's got. The only thing he has left is his life. And that's because God told Satan, you can touch him so far, but you can't take his life. And so here we have Job's situation, and his three buddies show up, and they try to tell Job that it's likely that it's his fault, and it's likely that he's living in sin, and he's committing transgression, committing iniquity and trespasses. And this is why this tragedy has unfolded in Job's life. So Job is going through chapter 2, chapter 3, chapter 4, chapter 5, and you get this whole discourse of these three men speaking their opinions, and then Job speaks. And then we go over to the book of Job chapter 29, and I want to read to you what Job said about his own life. Listen to this. Job further continued his discourse and said, quote, "Oh, that I were as in months past, as in the days when God watched over me, when his lamp shone upon my head, and when by his light I walked through darkness, just as I was in the days of my prime, when the friendly counsel of God was over my tent, when the Almighty was yet with me, when my children were all around me, and when my steps were bathed with cream and the rock poured out rivers of oil for me." I want to tell you what that is. What he just described there, my friend, is the favor of God on his life. Listen to that. That is the favor of God. His steps were bathed in cream. The rock poured out oil for him. That God was light in the midst of his darkness. The presence of God was with him. His family was there. Everything. He was blessed beyond measure. So Job carried with him a measure of favor of the Lord. Now, let me go on to verse 7. He continues. He said, "Oh, the days when I went out to the gate by the city, when I took my seat in the open square, and the young men saw me and they hid, and the aged arose and stood, and the princes refrained from talking and put their hand on their mouth, and the voice of nobles was hushed, and their tongue stuck to the roof of their mouths. And when the ear heard, then it blessed me. because listen to this, I deliver the poor who cried out, the fatherless and the one who had no helper. The blessing of a perishing man came upon me, and I caused the widow's hearts to sing for joy. Did you hear that? So what am I talking about? I'm talking about influence. Job had influence everywhere he went. When he went to the open square, he would shut the mouths of the young. The wise would listen. When he opened his mouth and poured out his wisdom, people stopped and they listened to what he had to say. And then it tells you that he was known for giving to the poor, the widow, the orphans, and the needy. He gave alms often. Again, it coincides exactly what we see in Acts chapter 10 with Cornelius's life. These are upright, God-fearing men who exhibited character, attributes, and fruit that was evident not only in their private lives, but in their public lives. Come on, somebody. Listen, in case you haven't caught it yet, this is how you become on the most wanted list of hell. When you pick up the Bible and you start simply obeying what it says, I mean, fully surrendering and obeying the word of God, I'm telling you, not only will signs, wonders, and miracles follow those who believe, not only will you see the lost come to salvation, not only will you see loved ones start turning to the Lord, not only will you see the miraculous in your life, but I'm going to tell you something. If you're not a threat to the kingdom of hell, you're not suffering persecution, you're not suffering offense by people are not being offended by what you say, what you preach, and what you do, and if you're not capturing the attention of devils and demons and imps and principalities, then my friend, you may not be walking in the fullness of what God has called you to walk in. And I'm not getting on you today. I'm in the same boat. This is preaching to me as well as preaching to you. Let me read on. Verse 14. Job said, I put on righteousness and it clothed me. What are you putting on today? Are you putting on doubt, unbelief, anxiety, fear, worry, anger, bitterness, resentment, idolatry, idleness? Job said, I put on righteousness and it clothed me. My justice was like a robe and a turban. I was eyes to the blind and I was feet to the lame. This is Job. Now listen, let me stop and tell you this. If this testimony was not true, God himself would have showed up and rebuked Job, because if you read on in the book of Job, God shows up and rebukes his three friends because what they spoke was not right of him, but he never rebuked Job. He never called Job out and said, hey, all that stuff you said about yourself, that was not true. That was fabricated. Never. In fact, I'll remind you, God was the one who was bragging on Job to begin with. He said, I was eyes to the blind. Excuse me. And I was feet to the lame. I was a father to the poor, and I searched out the cause that I did not know. In other words, he was looking to deliver people. He was looking to help people. He was looking to go about and doing good and healing all that were sick and oppressed. He said, I broke the fangs of the wicked and I plucked the victim from his teeth. He didn't sit back idle, and when he saw evil, he didn't keep and remain silent, but he spoke out. He didn't turn a blind eye. And then I said, I shall die in my nest and multiply my days as the sand. My root is spread out to the waters, and the dew lies all night on my branch. My glory is fresh with me, and my bow is renewed in my hand. Men, listen to this. Men listened to me and waited and kept silence for my counsel. When was the last time? Listen, how would you like to possess such wisdom that when you speak, people just remain silent? Because they were hanging on your every word. Not that Job, listen, it wasn't about, and not necessarily about Job, but it was the intimacy that he had with God, the closeness, the relationship that he had with God. He was walking so close to the Lord that when he opened his mouth, he spoke the oracles of God Almighty. After my words, they did not speak again, and my speech settled on them as dew. They waited for me as for the rain. Wow. And they opened their mouth wide as for the spring rain. If I mocked at them, they did not believe it. And the light of my countenance, they did not cast down. I chose the way for them and sat as chief. So I dwelt as a king in the army, as one who comforts mourners. Let me read on. Job chapter 31. Listen to this. What about Job's sexual integrity? You want to know what kind of sexual integrity Job had? Let me read it in Job 31. He said, I have made a covenant with my eyes. He said, why then should I look upon a young woman? For what is the atonement of God from above, allurement of God from above, and the inheritance of the Almighty from on high? Is it not destruction for the wicked and disaster for the workers of iniquity? Does he not see my ways and count all my steps? If I have walked with falsehood, or if my foot has hastened to deceit, let me be weighed on honest scales, that God may know my integrity. If my steps have turned from the way, or my heart walked after my eyes, or if any spot adheres to my hands, then let me sow and another eat. Yes, let my harvest be rooted out. Listen to this in verse 9. If my heart has been enticed by a woman, or if I have lurked at my neighbor's door, then let my wife grind for another, and let others bow down over her. I'll let you do your own interpretation of that. For that would be wickedness. Yes, it would be iniquity deserving of judgment. For that would be a fire that consumes to destruction and would root out all my increase. Listen, pornography leads to poverty. Let me say that again. Pornography leads to poverty. If I have despised the cause of my male or female servants when they complain against me, what then shall I do when God rises up? When he punishes, how shall I answer him? Did not he who made me in the womb make them? And he goes on, guys. And he says, if I've hurt the fatherless, if I've despised the widow, if I've done unjust things, if I've wronged somebody, he, you know what he's doing? He is coming before God, open and transparent before the Lord's presence, saying exactly what David prayed in the book of Psalms. Lord, search me and seek me and see if there be any iniquity in me, if there be transgression in me. Cleanse me, O Lord, and wash me. Forgive me of my trespasses. Take not your Holy Spirit from me. When was the last time? Guys, again, I know you guys know I get on my box about this, all my soapbox on this all the time. I constantly talk about how it grieves me that churches, not all, but a lot of churches no longer give a space of repentance. They don't give altar calls. Some of them's done away with altars. They've done away with water baptism pools. So this is why it's so important whether you're alone, whether you're in a worship service, a public gathering. There has to be a time of self-examination and a time that we can examine ourselves to see whether we're in the faith. So what am I talking about today? I'm talking about this. Let me pull up a scripture. I'm going to pull this scripture up here on the screen. I want to show you this real quick. We can get this to work here. Let's see. Here we go. We're going to go fast forward to the New Testament. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 10 through 15. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 10 through 15. This is the Apostle Paul who wrote this. Listen what he says here. He said, "You have carefully followed my doctrine, manner of life, purpose, faith, long-suffering, love, perseverance, persecutions, afflictions, which happened to me at Antioch, at Iconium, at Lystra, what persecutions I endured. And out of them all, the Lord delivered me. Yes," listen to this next verse, "yes, and all who desire to live godly in Christ Jesus will suffer persecution." Now I'm gonna put a stake there for a moment because I want to talk to you for a moment. Again, all who desire to live godly in Christ Jesus will suffer persecution. I want you to say this with me. Say, if I desire to live godly in Christ Jesus, I'm going to suffer persecution. Again, not popular with today's preaching, not popular with today's Christian television. It's not popular in today's books and novels that are written by other quote unquote Christians. They don't tell you this. It's how to be successful, how to be the best you, how to be popular, how to live every day like it's your last day, and everybody just loves you, and you're a friend to everybody, and you never rock the boat, and you've always got a pocket full of money, and everything's going good. You're loved by everybody at your job. Listen, if you follow that, I'm telling you, it pulls you away from the true gospel. In fact, can I prove it to you? Let me read the next verse. It's no coincidence that he says, those who look right there on your screen, it's right there. All who desire to live godly in Christ Jesus will suffer persecution. Look at verse 13. But evil men and imposters will grow worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. Now, how are they going to, listen to me, how are they going to get worse and worse and deceive and be deceived? Answer, they're going to preach to another gospel that is going to avoid persecution. Listen, I can mark a false gospel right off the bat by how it is received by the religious crowd. Because in my Bible, when the true disciples preached the gospel and when Jesus preached, the religious revolted and hated it, but the ungodly, many of them, ran to Jesus. Let me say that again. Yes, that's in your Bible. In the book of Acts, read it. The religious hated Jesus. They despised him. They was always trying to catch him and his words and this. But many of the broken, the abandoned, the overlooked, the rejected, the widows, the orphans, the hurting, the depressed, the drug addicts, the prostitutes, when Christ came on the scene and gave them the good news, they embraced it. So listen, if you're preaching a gospel where everybody's your friend, everybody loves you, and you never suffer any persecution, you're preaching a false gospel and a false doctrine. So let me get back. Listen to what he says. Let me finish this. I'm going to get back to this. But you must continue in the things which you have learned and been assured of, knowing from whom you have learned them, and that from childhood, you have known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. Now, I want to close with this. So again, we asked at the beginning of this, what put Job on hell's most wanted list? I could name all these things again, but it's simple. He simply obeyed the word of God. That's it. It's so simple that people don't want to hear it. It's almost like it's too simplistic. A great man of God one time said, one day, some poor soul is going to pick up a Bible, read the Bible, and he's going to obey it, and he's going to change the world. Think about that for a second. Pick up the Bible, read the Bible, obey the Bible, and change the world. What did James said? He said, if we're hearers only and not doers of the word, we're simply as a man going and looking in the mirror and then walking away and forgetting what our own reflection looks like. But he who hears the word and obeys the word, he will produce fruit and produce much of it. I don't know about you guys, but it would be a great honor. I remember Leonard Ravenhill, a great man of God years ago, Leonard Ravenhill said that that was one of his desires to be on hell's top 10 most wanted list. Let me ask you this question in closing. Can you honestly say that your walk with the, this is not to condemn you guys. This is to challenge you. This is challenging all of us. It's challenging me. I want to be known for laying hands on my children and blessing them and decreeing over them and affirming them. I want to be known for a man of God who sits in the town square and people know who I am because of the wisdom that I possess. And because I'm known for helping the poor, known for helping the widows, known for helping the orphans, known for being blind, for being eyes to the blind and shunning evil. I want to be known for that. I don't want to be known for being the lukewarm Christian. I don't want to be known for being the hypocrite. I don't want to be known for being one thing in private, being something else in public. I don't want to be known for someone who is one thing on Sunday morning and something else on Monday morning. Come on, I want my life to possess such a quantity of God, so much of him that it's abundantly overflowing in my life, so that when someone meets me outside of the podcast, outside of the camera, outside of church, that I'm walking in the same favor, same anointing, same conviction, same principles. That's what I want. And I'm going to tell you something. I believe God wants that too in our lives. So here's what we're going to do today. We're going to pray. I'm going to pray for all of us, including myself. And I'm going to ask the Lord to lead us into a deeper consecration, a deeper walk with him, where we are actively pursuing him and producing fruit on our account that is making hell tremble. Listen, I want to wake up in the morning and hell is trembling, saying, oh no, he's awake. He's getting ready to pray. He's getting ready to read the word. He's getting ready to go to Walmart. He's getting ready to go up the street. And somebody may run into him and he may witness the gospel to them. Come on, do you want that today? I believe God wants that for all of us. Let's pray real quick. Father, I thank you for this word that you've given me and put on my heart today. Lord, this is the word that I have ministered before, but I felt like a fresh wind was upon it this morning, and you would have me to deliver this today. And I pray, Lord, not only for them, but I pray for myself today. I pray for all of us today. Lord, help us to get into a further walk with you, a deeper devotion with you. God, I want to be known and remembered. I want to be known and remembered, I don't want to be known and remembered on podcasts or Apple or Spotify or YouTube. I want to be known in heaven. I want to be known in my community as someone who is an ambassador for Jesus, someone who's helping the sick, helping the poor, helping the needy, casting out devils, healing the sick, setting the oppressed free, and doing the works of Christ, God. And I believe that for those that are watching this today, I pray for you today. I ask that the Holy Spirit would convict you today with this message today. May you start today. And listen, you may be watching this today and you say, brother, I have fallen so far off this. I'm nowhere near this. Listen, baby steps. Start today. Read a chapter today. Pray for somebody today. Bless your children today. Help someone who is poor today. Give to the needy today. Help an orphan today. Be light to someone in the darkness today. Testify today. Wherever you're at, say, listen, I want to tell you about this Jesus who turned my life upside down and I've never been the same again. And I want to introduce you to him. Father, I'm asking for a baptism of boldness to come upon everybody, including myself today. Lord, we have routines. We shower, we work out, we eat, we clean the house, we do this, we go to ball games, we do this, we do that. We have a routine life, and we have clock set, timers set, alarm clocks. We have all these things set up and we have timers to do all these things. God, may we make room for prayer, make room for intercession, make room for the word of God, make room for devotion, make room for prayer or praise and worship, make room to witness. Lord, we're tired of excuses. Let us make no more excuses starting today, but step out in fervor and passion and zeal in Jesus' name. I pray today and I pray it today. And Lord, I thank you, Father, that you are putting a fresh passion, a fresh fire and a zeal. Lord, you're giving somebody a hunger for your word, a hunger for your presence, a hunger for prayer. And Lord, they're starting afresh today and you're blessing that as they step out. Lord, you're meeting them where they are. You're encouraging them. And you who are faithful, who begin a good work in us, are faithful to complete it until the time of the end. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Guys, listen, we want to give you an opportunity to keep up with our ministry. If you've not yet downloaded the free app, please do it right now. As soon as this broadcast is over, get on your Apple device, get on your Android device, type in End Time Headlines, look for our official trademark logo. You're going to see that right there on your screen. If you're watching visually, download that free app, get it into your hands, get it into your possession. You're going to get all of our news and headlines from a prophetic perspective there. You're going to get our podcast right there on the bottom. You're going to get our YouTube channel. All that's going to be in your hands. Hit yes to push notifications so you can be notified so you don't miss any of our headlines, our podcasts, and so on and so forth. And as always, guys, we always want to give you the opportunity. If this ministry has continually been a source of blessing to you and you would like to help support or become a monthly partner of this ministry, you can do so either by two ways of giving. You can give electronically or you can give by check or money order. If you give by electronically, you can do that by the app, by going all the way to the bottom to the right, click on that little heart right there where it says donate, click on that, and it's going to give you an opportunity to give electronically. Or you can do it by check or money order, and you can do that by making your check or money order out to End Time Headlines, P.O. Box 1391, Monroe, Georgia 30655. And as always, guys, we thank you. Listen, let me give you an update on what we're doing real quick. We're going to sign off for today. We're going to be back on here on Thursday. I'm going to talk about, I got a message that I'm developing that we're going to go into detail about. I'm going to talk about what did Jesus mean when he said that we will be sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. We're going to talk about that on Thursday. And then on Friday, we're probably going to do a prophetic update, get you caught up with some of our news and headlines from a prophetic perspective, give a little bit of a biblical perspective on that or prophetic edge on that. But we'll pray about that. If not, we'll come out with another encouraging message as always. So again, be looking for not tomorrow. We're going to take off tomorrow, get this whole message developed. I'm finishing this up for Thursday, and then we'll be back on and we'll finish the week strong on Thursday and on Friday. Again, as always, don't forget to share. Don't forget to tag people in this. If you're listening by podcast, let them know we're on Apple, we're on Spotify. Okay, let them know that so that they can come and follow our podcast. If you're watching by YouTube, don't forget to hit the subscribe button, hit the bell, be notified of when new messages are coming out as well. So guys, until Thursday, we love you guys. God bless you. Thank you for your prayers and support. May the Lord bless you, may he keep you, and may his countenance be upon you. We'll see you then.
Thank you for listening to the End Time Headlines podcast. We pray that you've been blessed and equipped by today's message. For more information about how you can help partner with our ministry, please visit endtimeheadlines.org.